I'm ready.
Here we go. Here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 119. Yes, spotlight on Marvel Comics, Battle of the Atom Part 2.
Obviously, I think that's a prime number. I think,
yeah, it might be. I think Murray didn't have his nap today.
No, he did not.
I didn't either, but I had a really good Nerf war today. Anyway, I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Yes. Hey Murray, I was thinking about you earlier today. My wife and daughters are really into this new app that they found. It's a pottery app on their for the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
How does a pottery app work?
Well, it's on a wheel, and you spin pots and things on there, and then you can color them and put designs on them, and then you sell them.
Maybe.
I mean, not for real, but
yeah.
You sell them.
Huh.
Very cool.
That is interesting.
I thought it was interesting. They love it.
I'll have to look for it.
Almost as addictive as Farmville, apparently.
Oh, God. I am so glad I stopped doing that one. I was heavily into that one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
It is bad. I keep my addictions to comic books.
Yeah. Oh, crap. Oh, hold on one second.
Okay.
All right. A little chit-chat here for a moment.
Yeah,
Murray.
Yeah. My folks are calling.
So what? So tell me about what you were doing the last 2 days. You were at a pottery show?
I was at a pottery show all weekend long. I was surrounded by old potters, young potters, cool potters.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter, mean Mr. Old Potter, mean old Mr. Potter.
There was probably some Harry and mean Mr. Old Potters too. It was good. Lots of people came out. Lots of people wandered around. It's always good hanging out. Hanging out at the tables, watching all the pottery go flying through the room.
Watching all the girls go by.
Yes, there were lots of them.
So do you spin pots or do you make other types of? I mean, I've seen the pictures, but I'm
mostly do it on the wheel. I try not to do any hand building because it drives me mental.
What do they call those? Pinch pots?
Just give them a call.
Yeah, pinch pots would be done with hand. Like you pinch it and you shape it and you form it. I just throw it on the wheel and let the wheel take over.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
And I don't remember. Do you glaze and fire your own stuff, right?
Yep, I do it all at home.
Wow.
Did you? So you have a kiln in your backyard or something?
That would be awesome. No, it's in the garage.
Oh well. I guess that makes better sense where you are, but.
I know. I would love to. If I could do it outside, I would do like smoke firing, and that would be perfect. But laws and regulations and firefighters, you know, they.
Yeah, there's always people like that getting in the way, isn't it?
They frown on open flames in the city. The buggers.
That's sad.
Okay, never mind. So what about, like, if someone's going to, like, do, like, smoking on a grill or something like that? That can take hours sometimes.
Yeah, we can barbecue, but we can't have, like, an open... But we can't have like an open back, like if we were gonna have like a backyard campfire, that would not go over well.
I see.
Wow.
I know. Welcome to suburbia.
Sounds like that out of that Bruce Willis movie where the military comes. Never mind. Not that bad.
No. So, I think people get around it. Like, I think they have little outdoor, like, if you had, like, a little outdoor hibachi, that's probably okay. And they can have, like, little enclosed fire things as long as they're using them for food. And I'm saying that in air quotes. Like, if you had, like, a little metal fireplace out in the middle of your backyard and had like a hot dog within 5 feet of it, it would probably be okay. But it, I mean, who wants an enclosed fire pit? That's like,
yeah, that doesn't sound good.
No.
God, here in the AZ, I mean, we have, you know, we have burn days, but they really, people like pay extra to have fire pits dug in their backyards and stuff. So.
Ugh, I would love that. I'm living in the wrong country.
No.
This no, you're not. You say that now, but.
No, I know. Canada's wonderful. It's lovely.
Nobody ever repatriates from Canada to the United States, so.
Not very often,
I know. It's lovely. It's you know what? I just have to become prime minister, and then
there you go.
Then I will make the rules. Fire pits will be fine. Grapefruits will be fine. Potatoes will be outlawed, and pencils will be everywhere. That's my perfect.
Seems very random, Marie.
Wow. Yeah, that is kind of random, D.
No, it's not random. Potatoes, they're gross. No country in the world should have potatoes.
What? I love potatoes.
Dude, yeah, I'm Irish. Come on.
Slathered in butter and cheese and sour cream and bacon
bits. You grossed me out. Both of you would be excommunicated from the country.
I see. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
You distill it and you get a nice vodka. Come on.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Once it's vodka, then it's not a potato.
Man,
a raisin's no longer a grape?
That's right.
Well, I'll go with that. Maybe.
A prune is no longer a plum.
Huh.
What a prune is? It's a plum.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
They wouldn't be high on my list of foods. They wouldn't be high on the list of Canadian foods allowed by the Prime Minister.
So no potatoes and lots of fire, open fires. Okay.
Holy.
Yeah, we're going to rename this to the Random Cast is what we're going to call this now. It was Pottery Cast, but then you just went completely off script. And
well, we can try to bring it back here.
Okay, yeah, what were we coming on? Oh, yeah, Battle of the Atom.
Yeah, so last time we covered Battle of the Atom Part 1, and it was the talking about the repercussions of the young X-Men coming into the present and how that's effed with time travel, and all of a sudden future X-Men come back to tell them that they really need to go back, even though young X-Men don't want to go back, but they're good. So it's a very mishy-mashy, timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah.
And rather than covering all 10 parts, we're going to do the bookend. We covered part 1, which was X-Men Battle of the Atom 1, and we're going to jump down to X-Men Battle of the Atom 2. In the middle, there was all new X-Men 16, X-Men Volume 4, if we're going to say, number 5, Uncanny X-Men Volume 3, number 12.
Oh, that's Wolverine. Right. It's Volume 3, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wolverine and the X-Men number 36, and then all new X-Men 17, X-Men Volume 4, number 6. Uncanny X-Men Volume 3, number 13, Wolverine and the X-Men number 37.
So, pretty much 2 issues of every single X-Men series.
Well, X-Men proper. It didn't involve X-Force, the X-Force books.
That's right, X-Force books, yeah.
Which there are 2 of.
Or the Uncanny Avengers.
Right, and it didn't involve any of the Wolverine proper books.
Yes, the 2 of those.
Mm-hmm. Savage Wolverine and Wolverine and
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wolverine in Love and Wolverine.
The all new X-Men, or is it all new? No, it's Amazing X-Men. Yes, Amazing X-Men. That came out after, which is the reappearance of Nightcrawler, which I actually did enjoy. And I was telling the guys before we started that, you know, damn them, they've made me an X-Men fan again.
You know, and Bendis did that with Avengers. I mean, he did the same thing. One could have given 2 flips about the Avengers. He went in and did the new Avengers, and all of a sudden there are 6 Avengers books again. It was,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm not reading any of them right now, but...
Well, but he's not on them. It's you know...
Well, that's right. He's on these now.
He's on these, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is his... He is Mr. Crossover at Marvel.
So yeah, I read the Uncanny X-Men, all of it, in the last couple of days, and I'm really digging that book. That's the one with Cyclops and Magneto and everything.
Right.
So, I like that one. And then, of course, the Amazing X-Men with Nightcrawler, which was always one of my favorites. I didn't know he was dead till recently, which, you know, he's back now, so it doesn't matter. So
there's
yeah.
There's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's where we're at.
John F. Kennedy, dead. Nightcrawler, not dead.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, fictional, non-fictional.
Yep. I was trying to be topical there, see, because this is the...
Yeah. Well, it is the 50th anniversary of the X-Men as well.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It is. All right.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so I'm going to read the little synopsis that someone was nice enough to write up here in the front of Battle of the Atom 2. And then I'll dive in to the deep end here. So the Brotherhood of the Future, which they originally thought were the X-Men of the future, came to the present, masquerading as the X-Men of the future. Their goal was to convince the present-day X-Men to send the time-displaced original X-Men back to the past. Despite the team's protest, that's the original, by the way,
yes.
Wolverine and much of the Jean Grey School, which is the renamed... Xavier School staff agreed, but the deception was soon uncovered when the real in capital letter future X-Men arrived.
Yeah. Are y'all finding it? Are y'all keeping up on this here, people? This is convoluted, but go ahead.
Exposed, the Brotherhood turned on the time machine to find the universe would not allow the original X-Men to go back. Now the united forces of past, present, and future X-Men stand against the Brotherhood. When suddenly, S.H.I.E.L.D. arrives, and Coulson dies. And opens fire. This one was written by Jason Aaron, which kudos for him, man.
Yeah.
With art by Assad Ribic, with Giuseppe Camuccioli, and Andrew Gurdy, and Tom Baum. I'm sorry, no, and Ivy Svorchina. Wow.
Wow.
They went offshore for this one. Really?
Just slightly, off. Yeah.
Wow. And this set up a whole bunch of storylines, I think, and I'm not going to go into the credits for the epilogues here.
It's pretty much everybody that's working on a book right now.
Yeah, basically they got the regular, teams of the four books to do little epilogues here. So Jason Aaron, Brian Wood, Jason Aaron, and Brian Bendis did some post stuff. Anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a mouthful, isn't it?
And directing traffic on all this was Nick Lowe. So kudos to Nick Lowe.
Yeah, I have to say.
And the one thing that was missing from this was a very cool Arthur Adams cover, which I thought he was going to be doing the two bookend covers. But
oh yeah, that's a good point. Is that Pacheco? Carlos Pacheco?
Nope. I think it was Ed McGuinness.
That's right. It is Ed McGuinness. You're right.
Because no one draws Colossus with a mustache better than Ed McGuinness.
Yeah, I kind of like the mustache, personally.
Weird.
Oh, I'm a mustache kind of guy. What can I say?
He looks like an inflated Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I can see that. I see that.
All right.
Yes, he does.
So the issue opens with lots of open mouth X-Men.
Yeah.
Staring up in the sky. And of course, Beast and present Beast. This is the present Beast, the one who actually started this whole Mission Morale thing. Saying, "Oh, my stars and garters," and then Young Beast, what he said, and Storm, "No one panic. We've faced worse than this." And Young Iceman, "We have? Great. I got a lot to look forward to." And Old Man Iceman, "Not if we're all about to die, you don't." And present day Iceman, "Shut up, old me."
He almost need a diagram for this.
You do need a
and we should note that the character that came with which I don't know about the rest of you, but any else of you have problems with the Xavier's grandson being a quote-unquote bad guy, which, is there any bad guys, good guys in this, really?
Is there any good guys? Well,
They're all kind of morally ambiguous at this point.
Well, I think the regular X-Men are good guys. They want the baby X-Men to go back. They're doing the right thing.
This is true. All right, anyway. But what was I going to say?
I don't know.
I was talking about... Zorn. That's actually... Okay, now, see if you can follow this. The Zorn character is actually the original X-Men Jean Grey that stayed and lived a long time. And she's been through so much crap, her powers are unstable, so she's got to wear the Zorn helmet.
And we'll get there. That comes in. That has that very cool panel later in this issue.
So. Yeah, that's right. All right, continue.
And Baby Jean says, "I'm so sorry, guys, for all this. This is all our fault." And Kitty Pryde, who looks a lot like Jean Grey, says, "Be sorry later, Jean. For now, be ready." And Baby Scott says, "Can't Magneto." Magneto's not all of them. Basically, there's missiles flying at them, and they're all getting out over the missiles coming at them. And what is not mentioned here but happened in one of the crossover issues is actually young Xavier caused the S.H.I.E.L.D. Missiles to be fired from the helicarrier. Mm-hmm. I think he was the one who drove that to happen.
Yeah, now, this is kind of interesting. You know, they show that, they kind of show Zorn and the new Xavier talking back and forth about that, but go ahead.
Right, and then, sorry.
No, that's fine, that comes up.
So Maria Hill's freaking out. She's up in the helicarrier saying, "Who shot all those missiles? Who pushed the button and shut it down?" And, you know, she's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's Maria Hill. And the X-Men are down there trying to stop all the missiles. They've found a common enemy, which is the missiles. And Zorn and young Xavier, I don't know, whatever, are talking telepathically, and in comes Phoenix / Kid Omega /
That bugged me too. I don't know much about that Kid Omega.
Oh, see, I like what they've done with Kid Omega. So.
Yeah, well, I haven't read the Wolverine and the X-Men series that much. I'm planning on catching up on all of them.
He is the character who has gone through a ton of growth, and it's logical growth.
Okay. Well, I remember that little miniseries they did, and he looked like a real punk. So.
He was a punk, and he was a punk. He was the one who caused the whole. He was one of Morrison's creation. So.
Okay. That explains a lot.
He was from the new X-Men run on Morrison's new X-Men run.
Mm-hmm.
So Kid Omega comes in, but he's all Phoenix down. He says, "Oh, there's a way to stop the missiles." And he starts. They call him Kid X.
That's what he called him. Yeah.
Right. So he goes to shut them down. He tries to shut down Zorn and. And Kid X. I'm going to call him Kid X.
I like that.
And all I'm about to do is stomp a Phoenix-sized mud hole in both of your asses. And we have the three Icemen coming together, firing ice. Be the ice. That's right. I just watched that the other day.
I was really shocked that Future Beast was part of this, actually.
Me too. I was about to say, you read my mind.
Yeah, next panel shows that.
And Future Beast with the tail and the horn says, "Now do you see? This is what it all comes down to. Mutants being hunted to extinction. The time to break that cycle is here and now. We have clawed our way through time itself to do exactly that. Stand with us, X-Men." See, from that piece of dialogue, I get the impression that he did not know what Xavier did.
It's very possible.
And he really thinks that S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to blow them up.
Well, we find out they may very well be, but go ahead, continue.
And then Baby Psych is pulling a Bucky, and or not a Bucky, yeah, Bucky, and trying to ride the missile out, along with Baby Beast and Current Beast. And Baby Beast says, "So I turn ugly and crazy one day. That's something to look forward to." Yeah, it's kind of cool. And then we have, I think that's Psylocke, right?
No, that's Angel. See the wings?
No. No, no, no. The,
oh, you're down farther.
I think that's Kitty Pryde, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. That's Angel, not Cyclops. Sorry. Yeah. Kitty Pryde? Okay. All right. There are too many bonds. Peter, start teleporting people out of here. Which I didn't gather that from any of the crossovers, but I guess he got his sister's, not only his sister's sword, but also teleporting power.
In one of the things, Elenia asked him how he got the sword, and he said, "You gave it to me." So I assume that means he got the powers too.
The powers are her mutant power.
Yeah, I know. I think that I just found that out today when I read the Uncanny X-Men stuff. I'd forgotten that. I never did do much with the New Mutants when they were big, so I didn't know that. But yeah, that seems to be a little mistake. Anyway.
Rory, you sound like you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say they've got years to figure it out. They'll, between now and the time that Beast goes all Brotherhood, they'll figure out some loophole need to.
Yeah.
Not Beast, Cyclops.
Well, though. I thought it was interesting how they all wanted to send him back, but, oh, well, the universe won't let me. I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
And then we have Emma Frost telling Colossus to use the sword, and Wolverine say, "No, no, no, hold on, chill out." And the bomb drops on the ground; it doesn't blow up. And Maria Hill is still yelling at her people up on the helicarrier, and they're talking about anti-mutant ordnance, which, as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., you'd think she would know about this stuff, but she's anti-mutant. What
well,
does that oh,
hell. Some of that stuff, I'm sure, is done without her knowledge.
And then we got Crazy Old Beast again. This is the hour. We stand at the greatest crossroads in mutant history. Look at me. You all know me. I'm Henry McCoy. I'm an original X-Men. I've been here since the very beginning, and I'm telling you people, we are bound for ruin. I've seen it with my own eyes. We are bound for death and destruction unless we all... And he gets besorched by an incredibly cool-looking Sentinel.
Yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. Sentinels.
Yes. That's an awesome page.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
I like the coloring on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Looks good on my 21-inch screen, too.
I'm having screen envy. All right. And we get the Not Crazy Beasts standing there. And Baby Iceman, pretty effective way of making a point. Oh, my God. Did I just see myself die? Asks Baby Beast. And Current Beast says, "That wasn't us. Don't think for a second that we turned into that." And they all start going, "Oh my God, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s got Sentinel."
You know what? Just that right there, anybody that says the Legion of Superheroes is confusing needs to read this damn series. I mean, seriously. Anyway, continue.
No, this is mind-numbingly confusing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know.
I think they were well served that they actually got an artist who makes everyone look distinct. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the three Icemen standing there together, they look distinct.
Yeah, so if they had gotten someone with lesser skills, they would have been screwed.
Yeah, I agree.
And it looks like somebody with a sword, who I'm going to assume is Psylocke and Kitty Pryde talking.
Psylocke wasn't in this, so I don't know.
Oh, it is Betsy. It's Psylocke. It's Betsy. She calls her Betsy.
Really? When will she get here?
I don't know. Then what's the point? What are we fighting for? Same thing we've always fought for, Betsy. To take over the world. No.
Huh. I don't remember seeing her in there.
She's popping in.
Well, she's part of Jubilee and... Because they have that all-female X-Men that Brian Wood's doing, right?
She's also an X-Force.
That's right. Okay.
Kitty Pryde gets all adulty and says, "We're not here to die. We live to see tomorrow. Maybe we'll think of something more eloquent." Mm-hmm. And Kid Omega is... Or Phoenix Omega, whatever, is flying with Zorn. Crashes into... Oh, through a Sentinel, actually. That's actually the opposite of a good panel.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
And he's yelling at him, saying, "You can't blame the Phoenix this time." And Zorn, who is Jean Grey, as you noted before, is telling him, talk to me about the Phoenix. You don't deserve that power. By the way, his real name is Quentin McGuire. It took me a second there. And they're having a little argument there about who deserves the Phoenix Force and stuff, and she's telling him, "Hey, it really wants me," and he's like, "No, it doesn't." "Yes, it does." "No, it doesn't." And then she headbutts him.
And a helmet, that's a kind of cool helmet. I wouldn't mind having one of those myself.
Headbutt those pain in the asses, people.
And I like that Wiccan, wasn't he in the Young Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like the Sorcerer Supreme now.
Yeah.
With the cloak.
Yeah, he's got his cloak.
Well, it looks like Cloak's cloak, doesn't it?
It does, but I think it's closer to Doctor Strange's.
Oh, it is. It is just the way.
Yeah, you're right. The way that it's drawn there, it does look like that. Whoa! Somebody drop.
I'm still here.
Okay.
No, I think someone dialed in. I thought I turned
it
off.
It might have been mine. Who knows? Looks like the Legion guys are getting ready to...
Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I'm about
a year behind. I just got through listening to the episode after... what was it? Super Show and how what you did to Darren's comics. Man... I don't know how much you paid for those, but dude, that would make me mad. But that's just me.
Oh no, he paid a pittance.
Oh, I'm sure he did. So anyway,
how do you top it next year?
What? What?
Sorry, what?
I was just asking how you're going to top it next year.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they said they weren't going to have one next year. They're not sure about the year after, though.
Well,
I was looking that up because I can actually go this time since MMS is canceled forever. That conference that Murray and I, Caleb and I went to last year, they merged it with Tech Ed. So that was always the problem. They always had it the same week, you know? So, anyway.
So, back to the story.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. So, we get Shogo and Wiccan talking. Shogo, by the way, is the grown-up, and we'll see at the end of this, he is the grown-up baby that Jubilee has basically adopted in the X-Men comic. The
female. So that's not really her son. Oh, okay. No. See, I saw her with that kid, and she called him son, and I'm like, what the hell happened here? No. Is she still a vampire?
Yes.
Full on or like?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll find out on my own. I plan on reading all that crap somehow.
There wasn't even an ANX issue where they had her and Captain America teamed up, and he was taking advantage of the fact that she was a vampire. So
nice. Okay.
Anyhow, so for some reason he's in the Iron Man armor. I don't remember what that reason is, but he.
Well, they're calling him Sentinel X. So.
Yeah. So they both get he gets sliced by the Wolverine and Mystique's kid, then Wolverine,
way creepy. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
And then he gets sliced by Old Lady Jubilee.
Yeah.
Who's got claws?
Made out of energy.
Yep. Energy claws, and then he fades away. And his name is Reyes, which actually I think is a very cool name.
It is a cool name for a character like that, yeah.
And he reminds her there's a giant killer robot behind her who then totally besorges her. Wow. Way besorges her.
Yeah, he does, but she's like a... She's a vampire, though, isn't she?
Well, she is... This is the future.
So oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Maybe they cured her of being a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And Shogo goes to take out the Sentinel, and Wiccan tells him, hey, you can't do that by yourself. Don't be a fool. And then old Colossus gets a brain freeze from Kid X. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I like that name.
And he starts just basically he shuts his brain down. Erg. Erg.
Yeah, because he paralyzed him with that Elenia sword.
Boy, he never gets a good death, Colossus.
No, he don't.
That's a crummy death. The other time he died was a crummy death.
I don't think he died though, did he?
Yeah, he died.
Oh man, I didn't know that.
He died.
Yeah.
And then Ileana comes in, current Ileana comes in and slices Kid X with her sword.
And she's got two.
Yeah, and she's starting to turn into the Dark Child, which there's a callback.
Yep. She did that before in the, I read up all the way up to the crossover issues on Canny. She's something.
And then a very inappropriate piece of dialogue. For some reason, Emma Frost is getting catty in the middle of this big fight.
Yeah.
It did seem kind of out of place. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
There didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for her asking her how her marriage was at that point.
Well, that's been over for quite a while.
No, just last year.
She's just bitter because she doesn't have Scott anymore, I guess. I don't know. Well, she's just a bitch anyway.
And during the Avengers versus X-Men is when that fell apart.
Yeah.
Old Man Iceman is saying, this is madness. This is us at our worst. God, how did I ever live to be so old?
I often ask myself that same question.
And Zorn, Jean Grey is, it's chaos, our whole world, our whole history. We've squandered everything, Professor X ever built for us. We've completely lost our way. And do you know who's to blame? You two. And she turns to Wolverine and Cyclops.
Which I agree.
Current day Cyclops, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their little whip it out contest about who Jean really liked.
See, now that's totally in character, and
oh, absolutely. Yeah, he said she was never your Jean. I like that.
And who's got the bigger one? Apparently, neither one of them, because she takes them both out and says, "I don't want either one of you. I'm working the other side of the street now." No, of course not. You two ruined everything, and Cyclops is getting knocked down, but Wolverine, of course, is fighting against it. Not the way I remember it. And just look around you, lovers, she says. Behold your legacy. Look at the mess you've made of the X-Men. Look at what you've made of me. Look upon your precious Jean Grey. And she's lost it. And Reyes and Kid X are watching the whole thing. And Jean is going off on, you brought us here to change the world, but your whole world changed us. I want my old life back. What she doesn't realize is that she would be dead. And then Wolverine headbutts her, ironically.
Well, he does have the metal head, after all.
Now, I don't know how this fits into current Wolverine continuity, where he doesn't have his healing factor, but...
I've forgotten about that, too. But that was part of Paul Cornell's that unkillable storyline he has in the not Savage Wolverine, but the regular Wolverine.
Yeah. Which is currently going on.
Yeah, I looked it up because that confused me too.
So I don't know if he's, I don't know if this is pre or post that, but.
I think it's just during.
It's just during, okay.
Yeah, because I looked at the next issue and it's still going on.
And she's there. She's trying to talk sense to her, and she says, "No one gets saved except the humans who hate us. Only the monsters live forever. They are monsters. Even one day, you die one day, Logan. Believe me, I gave your eulogy. I even cried." And then Jean and Scott have their moment, shooting rays, and she makes him shoot his rays elsewhere, and. She's like, "Why can't I go home? Back to the why can't I go home? Back to the way things were. Why can't I go back to my own time?" And she's, Wolverine must still have his healing factor because he'd be toast at this point. And then we hear Lady, and in swoop, the original young X-Men, and we get a callback to the X-Men number one cover with the five X-Men coming at Zorn, but in this case, in the original, it was Magneto behind the shield.
And they mentioned earlier that this is actually the same place where they first fought Magneto.
Yep.
It all comes full circle.
That's good, though. They're even tying in little history bits for the 50th anniversary, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then this art gets a little rough here.
They might be changing artists here. It almost.
Well, I am looking at it like, you know, 1,000 times the normal size right now. So
no, it's rough.
It has something to do with it. Yeah, it's. Anyway.
It's like really bad Walter Simonson art.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's got a Simonson flavor to it for sure.
Baby Jean and Zorn Jean have a little battle of the brain here, and Baby Jean's saying, "Get out of my head, Lady, and it's my head too. I beat you once on my own. This time you don't stand a chance," says Baby Jean, and Zorn Jean says, "This time I'm not holding back. Don't make me hurt you. Believe it or not, I don't hate myself that much." So.
Yeah, this is getting deep.
This is all kinds of psychobabble going on here. Freud would have a field day.
Who?
Freud.
Oh, yeah. This is true. He would.
And you didn't have to do this. We tried to go home. These people refused to see the... And then basically referring to the fact that there was an issue where they actually did try to actually go back in time. Send the five original X-Men back in for whatever reason did not work. They haven't explained why.
They don't know. Yeah, and they even tested it by sending somebody else back, and it worked fine.
Yeah. And Baby Jean says, "I'm not afraid to die." And Zorn Jean says, "Finally, something we agree on." And she's burning up. And that the whole idea is that this Zorn armor is keeping her in check. She's out. Her power is out of control.
Yeah.
She's exploding real good. "And I know you think you'll win, Jean. I know you think you're ready for what's coming. And you all are. I wish I could believe you, but I promise you, whatever power you think you've got on your side, it won't be enough." And she's on her knees, and Baby Jean is standing there. Again, that's a very Simonson panel, that one. And she looks very manly. And... Baby Jean saying, "Stop. What's happening? What's wrong with your powers?" And Zorn Jean, "You'll figure it out for yourself someday." And she just starts to disintegrate. "Goodbye, Jean Grey, and good luck." And who is that? Oh, that's Baby Kid X. "Oh, Zorn, I wish there was another way. I promise this won't be in vain. To me, my brotherhood." Call back to the "to me, my X-Men." And her power's overloading. She's gonna... And she explodes and takes out the Sentinels. And, no, not the Helicarrier, but takes out the Sentinels at the same time.
I'm sure she rocks it pretty hard.
And that's interesting. And I kind of want to point out is that they made such a big deal about the Sentinels, and then they just forgot about them until that panel. But
Did they... Seems like I read one of the ones. No, those were all before. Seems like I read something somewhere where they brought it up again. I don't remember where.
So, in a very low-tech way, the shield comes down via ropes into the middle of the decimation that was created when Zorn Jean exploded. And she's yelling, Maria's halo is yelling, stand down or we will be forced to open fire. Stop X-Men. And we see a little Phantom of the Opera mask, which it's the Zorn mask, I got it. Zorn mask sitting on the ground. And the X-Men are gone. And they're being teleported back, and we have our first epilogue. And they're all transporting back to the Jean Grey School. A ton of them. All popping into being via, I'm assuming, Ileana's teleporting them. No, it's not an Ileana teleport, though. I don't know. Whoever teleported them. Oh, she did. Her teleporting used to be discs, and now it's bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue, who was completely missing from the battle the whole time, is holding...
See, Jubilee didn't die. I guess Colossus did. I don't think they ever really said, but... Anyway, continue.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't see.
Oh, yeah, there he is right there. I remember now. Okay, go ahead.
And Rogue is saying, get the wounded to the med lab this way. And Ilya is wounded. We have no wounded, meaning her team, the Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
Only the dead and the damned. Right. And somebody's saying, oh, God, did we even win? I don't even know who that is.
I don't know either.
Well, we're saying we're live, aren't we? And Storm's not enough of us. And Current Beast is, we got the kids back. We did that, at least. That's a win. And Current Iceman and the Brotherhood. And Kid Iron is carrying Colossus, who's still armored up for whatever reason. Whatever. Hmm. And Rachel Gray is there now for some reason.
Yeah, she... And one of the, she's the one with Kitty Pryde that went and convinced the, helped the kids hook up with the Uncanny X-Men.
It's just all these characters were missing from the battle. It's just, it's, they,
yeah,
they,
yeah. Well, like, you know, Betsy, I don't remember her being there either, but anyway.
And we have the future X-Men that are standing there figuring out what they're going to do with themselves. And Wolverine saying, I don't know what he's saying. I lost it here. Oh, right. But the more important thing is, so are they. They need to go back. And Baby Iceman, we're still in trouble. Seriously? Baby Cyclops, give us a break, Wolverine. We saved your butt back there. We watched ourselves die. You kids, we're something to see, all right, but that don't change the way it is. This whole mess... All this time travel craziness, it's all started when we brought you here. Something we never should have done. Should have done. I mean, I know you kids mean well. You're heroes. Nobody argues that, but we can't let you stay here. It's too dangerous for all of us. But for you especially. Pointing at the team. And Angel wants to go back. And they're telling him to shut the hell up.
Yeah, he wanted to go back earlier in the series, actually, I guess. From what,
yep,
I gathered.
And it was always an all or nothing. They either all go back or none of them go back, and he wanted to go back all the time. And they got to figure out how to send him back. And they tried to go back, and it didn't work. And Iceman is saying, other people need to go back as well. And he's referring to the Uncanny X-Men, which is Cyclops, Magneto, Emma Frost, and Ileana. And telling them, you guys need to get the hell out of here. And they come to an agreement, though, that S.H.I.E.L.D. is a bigger problem than anything. And that's one thing that Cyclops and Wolverine can agree on. And they're going to have to deal with it. And Wolverine's telling them, don't you, not by you, though.
See, I love this little thing here, this back and forth between the two of them, and he's like, you know, see, I like what he says, and you do, Logan Shelton, yeah, you know, about having moral authority. You want to compare total body counts, but then Wolverine says, you killed the only man that mattered. He was not in control, but, I mean, that's a, I mean, I know we disagreed about that during AVX, but anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Wolverine's a dick.
And we both agree that it's ridiculous that he's a headmaster, but that's just the way it is. That's life. And he's standing there with his staff, which is Rachel Gray, current Beast, current Iceman, and Storm. That's his current central staff, along with Kitty Pryde. And he tells him, call me Professor Wolverine and laugh if you want, because these here are my X-Men, and that's our school over there, and after that, nothing else means a damn, including you. And that's that, of that epilogue. And by the way, and you'll find in X-Men, Wolverine and X-Men, that Storm and Wolverine are now a couple.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Shut your face. No.
Well, I they already hinted in there that Kitty and Iceman were, but...
Yeah.
That fell apart during this deal, it seems like.
Yep. He's a little old
for her. Wolverine and Storm.
Well, I don't know.
There was a hint at it during Avengers vs. X-Men where Black Panther said something to Wolverine about that.
I missed that.
It was subtle. Because that was a very subtle story.
Yeah, that was a subtle story, wasn't it?
And then we have Epilogue 2, and there is a very poorly drawn panel of a panther walking through the halls.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever the students,
yeah.
And the students at Jean Grey School being scared to death of it, and the kid of, I don't know,
it's
future Arroyo's kid, I can't even say, Storm's future kid, who controls these panthers, and she's telling him, you know, it's Chimera, that's what that character's name
that's
is.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
People are expected to work here, and Betsy's saying, why do you want to stay? What will you do? And Chimera says, hunt what's left of the Brotherhood. It's what I'm tasked with doing. Whether it's in your time or mine, it's got to be done. And that panther character is carrying the baby Shogo. Wow. Who trusts a baby with a panther?
So they didn't send anybody back anywhere.
No.
Like, they weren't able to send the baby X-Men back, but... The older X-Men, were they not able to go back, or they chose...
Well, yeah, and they also kind of forgot how... One of the things that started all this, too, is Elenia, she can... And it's brought up in the Uncanny X-Men, too, because she goes back in time to a young Doctor Strange to get training on how to use her powers. She can go in time, too.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a few plot holes in that part.
You know, but I trust Bendis to remember continuity. If nothing else, that guy has got... He loves continuity.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yes, the older X-Men are not going back because we have a scene where we have grown-up Shogo talking with young Jubilee. And they have a little bonding moment. Because his mom is dead. The one, the Jubilee that he's known all these years.
Yes, that's right. It is his mom, oldest mom. Yeah, you're right. She must have died too.
And you see, here's the thing where it answers your question about whether she's still a vampire. She says, sorry, she has the hood up. She said, it's the sun. I have these light benders, but they have limitations. Sometimes I just need to be in the shade. And he says, oh, right, my mom doesn't need to do that. Mm-hmm. And she says, you mean she figures this out? And he says, she learned how to cope, how to endure. I can't really see her face. So maybe she does, maybe she was still a vampire. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he gives her a little shade. And you think we're going to have a little incest moment. And of course we don't. and they have a bonding moment, and Jubilee matures a little bit, and they walk back hand in hand back to the school, and that's a sweet little moment.
He says he's going back.
And they will. And we come to epilogue 3, which cool art. And they have the Bamps in there, which play heavily into the Amazing X. Not Amazing. What is it? Amazing X-Men?
Yes.
Yes. So.
I believe it. Now I've forgotten. But yeah, I believe that's
the one with Nightcrawler. The Nightcrawler.
Yes. Yes, I just got through subscribing to it. Amazing X-Men, yes.
And current day at Iceman is trying to get old Iceman to tell him about the future, and he's like, I'm sorry, Robert, I can't tell you what the future holds for the X-Men. Our mere presence here has been dangerous enough. Anything more could have catastrophic consequences for it. Right, right, I know the drill. We actually teach a class here in the ethics of time travel. Yes.
I love this part.
Rachel Gray, the lady who came here from the future and never left. I guess we never learned, do we? It would be a far less interesting world if we did, says somebody who has cleavage. I can't tell who that is. Too many characters, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's like a weird perspective there. It's like she's a midget.
And then Shogo is the time cues program, time to go home, people, so that they go back.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoenix has a moment there, and Ileana's saying goodbye to her brother, her dead future old Freddie Mercury brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you may you find peace beyond the dark, she says. And wait, Ice Master, God, I really make people call me that. Look, I know you can't divulge any secrets of the future, but just tell me one thing, okay? Just tell me the future isn't even worse than what we're already going through. Kirk dead, Chuck dead, and the X-Men at each other's throats. I mean, I know the road's always going to be tough. I know they're always... I mean, he calls Professor Xavier Chuck? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that was a little out there. The only one I ever knew that called him Chuck was Wolverine.
Yeah. Chuck head. Sorry, I just caught that. I didn't catch that the first read through.
Yeah, I read that and I think that's kind of odd.
I need to know that we still have some laughs along the way. Please tell me our best days aren't behind us. And Ice Master says, even when you think you've seen it all, there will always be moments that amaze you. Keep an eye on these little guys. And grow the beard as soon as possible, Robert. Trust me, the ladies will love it. Goodbye, X-Men. Perhaps we'll meet again someday on the other side of tomorrow.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was a log. Mm-hmm. That was a well-written epilogue. I like that.
You did, okay. And it leads directly into the Amazing X-Men, number one, sort of.
Yeah. That was a really good book. I really enjoyed it.
You've said that, yes. We can cover that.
Now this part surprised me.
And Kitty Pryde, Headmistress Kitty Pryde, she's saying, I can't do this anymore. Beast Kitty. I've given everything to the school, to you, to our students. No, Aurora, everything I learned about being a woman and a mutant happened right here. And yet, when I needed you the most, when I needed you to trust me the most, I get nothing. When the original X-Men needed you the most, nothing. I can't be here. I quit the Jean Grey school.
I was really shocked at that.
I was too.
It did seem a little abrupt, but... And, mm-hmm.
She changed her mind halfway through the story, right? Like, she jumped into the X-Men, the baby X-Men side.
Yeah, she did. Her and Rachel Gray both, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and she stuck by them, but...
Well, she had taken on Stewart, stewarding them in the Wolverine and X-Men book. She was kind of their de facto mentor.
Yeah, I got that from the beginning of it. She was leading them in battle and everything.
Yeah. So, and Wolverine's like, you need to take a break. I get it, but don't go saying anything you'll regret. Trust me on this one. And she's yelling at him, trust you? How could I ever trust any of you again? Bobby, all the little things you said to me in private, all the promises you made, well, you had at least 10 chances today to be the man I hoped you were and you promised me you were. And he's all, isn't that a nice bunch of hypocrisy coming from someone willing to risk all time and space, but who's counting? And Storm's all, where are you going to go? Guys, I know I promised to guide and teach you, she's talking to the baby X-Men, but I have to go. And baby Psyche is all, yeah, and so do we. We already discussed it, says baby Jean, and we just can't stay here where we're not wanted. Choke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a good choke there.
And as long as we're stuck here, we can do our best to do our best. And then Kitty Pryde, well then, tell them we're ready. Jean says, they already know. And in pop, Cyclops and Ileana.
I was really shocked.
Yeah, too. But again, it totally comes out of character, which is what this whole series was. It was every little moment was a character moment that made sense. Whether you liked it or not. I mean, I think Kitty's being a brat, but we got to see why she felt this way, and we got to see her change her mind. And I mean, we totally get why she's feeling the way she is. Whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah, and
it all works.
They really hadn't mentioned it before, but they did it in the Uncanny X-Men book that they're having a new Xavier school in their secret stronghold.
When she's having this moment, I'm all of a sudden, and you calling her a brat, I'm picturing that Paul Smith cover of her yelling, instead of saying, Professor X, you're a jerk, she's saying, Professor Wolverine, you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. So how old is she supposed to be, though, at this point? Anyway.
Well, we can say early 20s when, you know, you're all idealistic and university-bound and...
Yeah. I didn't like the way Cyclops smiled, though.
I did like the moment that we got Ileana and Kitty Pryde back together.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's basically saying, Cyclops is basically saying, look, you know, whatever else you think, I'm right. You know, there's...
He's saying, I'm right. I get Jean. I get Kitty. Uh-huh.
I get him off.
In your face.
Mm-hmm.
Get
him while they're young.
Oh, jeez.
And we get her saying goodbye, a tearful goodbye, and the series ends, and the battle is over, but the story is continued.
That was it right there that made me want to, you know, continue these.
And we get a very cool, almost looks like an Alan Davis Nightcrawler cover, but it's not Alan Davis. It was actually
Ed McGuinness. Yeah.
And then we get a... we see that the upcoming covers for all new X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, and Wolverine and the X-Men. And of all of those, the only one that doesn't appeal is that X-Men number 7. But
yeah, you know. I agree. It's supposed to be Lady Deathstrike, I think.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm hooked again.
Now, is that all new X-Men number 18? Is that a riff on another cover?
I don't think so. I really don't know. That's when they all get new costumes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Hopefully they're better than the new costumes when the original X-Men got new costumes back in the day. That multicolored angel costume.
Yeah, that was a little weird. So, yeah. So,
that is how Battle of the Atom ends. The young X-Men have gone over to hang out with... the all-new X-Men have gone to hang out with the Uncanny X-Men. Wolverine's school.
So the focus of that book's going to be with the Uncanny X-Men, then I take it. Yeah, because, that makes sense.
Yeah. But in Uncanny X-Men, they also have a bunch of new mutants. To coin a term. Yes, I coined it.
Yes.
That was Battle of the Atom. It was, as you said, it got you hook, line, and sinker. And
it was very thick with all the time travel stuff too. It was something.
And to their credit, it was very linear, all things considered.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I would say that you could not read the bookends alone without some kind of primer or having read those intervening 8 issues.
Yeah, I'd have to say that too. Yeah, I would have to agree. Huh?
Thoughts, Murray? Opinion?
I liked it. I liked the whole series. I read it in one go, and
yeah,
even though like even middle parts where there was lots of switching up of this X-Man will fight this X-Man will fight this X-Man, none of it ever felt repetitive to me or like I was seeing the same scene again and again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because it was a story that just moved quickly or they just had enough like switches and surprises every couple of issues, but I really, really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
And that's one of the things they've done a lot with that Forever Evil, is they it feels like they keep repeating the same scene.
Oh, I know. Good God.
But
I agree.
One, right. There was...
Yeah. And Forever Evil is slow. Like, it's slow.
Well, it's John's, and I have to admit, as much as I... Well, I don't like his work as much as I used to, but he is always a slow burn. And in, like, the last issue, we'll have, like, all this crap all at once. Because that's what they did with Trinity War. What he did with Trinity War.
And I didn't want to drag it into that. I just want to say that, you know, mm-hmm. when you mentioned how they did there's no repetition of scenes or moments in Battle of the Atom.
Whoa.
That's something that has happened with other... with the DC crossover.
Oh yeah, I agree.
And Marvel, I think Marvel does this on purpose because then it almost forces you to have to go out and buy all the rest of the books to understand what is going on. And
this is true. Yeah.
What DC is trying to do is make it so they can genuinely say, well, you don't have to buy all the crossovers; you get everything that you need in each individual series.
Mm-hmm.
Which works fine for those who are buying 3 or 4 series, but not so good for people who are reading, you know, 20 or 30 of the series. So
yeah, that's a good point.
I try. I do. So good job, Marvel. Good job, Bendis.
It was good.
Good job, Nick Lowe, for driving this ship and not losing the, you know, not letting it steer off the edge of the world.
Yeah, it could have happened very easily too, I would say.
Yep. I agree. So, X-Men Battle of the Atom. What's next? Who knows? What this leads into? I haven't seen any announcements of the next big Marvel event, I'm sure.
I haven't either.
They've got Cataclysm going on right now in the Ultimate books.
Yeah. Pretty much ending that whole thing, aren't they?
I don't know. Is that their goal here? Okay.
Oh yeah, they're completely ending the Ultimate Universe altogether, is my understanding.
Okay. I had no idea.
Yep.
But Bendis is driving that one as well.
I believe he is. Yeah.
He is Mr. Crossover. I got nothing sad. I enjoyed this. I anticipated that it was going to be convoluted, and in fact it was very convoluted.
Yes, it was slightly convoluted.
But as noted, if you can follow the Legion, you can follow anything.
This is true.
And since there's no Legion to follow right now, you got to put that effort somewhere.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeesh.
All right, I'm done. I've said my piece.
Yeah. No, that's, I understand. It's good. I really liked it. Like I said, it's made me a fan again. I want to read more. I'm gathering up all the figuring out which the series I want to look at. I just got through reading all the Uncanny X-Men. I'm going to look at all the all new one. I had such a problem with the concept when we talked about it before of them bringing the old ones to the future that I really didn't read it, but this is I'm interested now, so Should be interesting. Yep.
Alright. Let me know how you feel when you catch up.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I got 18s out already, so this is the one after this, so it should be interesting to see. So. Alright then. You got anything else, Murray?
Nope. I am fading fast.
Alright. So, as always, you can send an email to podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com. Crap. Oh, man. Sneaking up on me, too. Or you can find us on the Facebook page, a very, very snail's pace growing bunch of people showing up on that page. And we talk about all kinds of things that show up. And as always, you can leave also on the actual episodes. So give us a shot and let us know what you think. And that's about it. We'll see you next week. And we're out.